This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We made it to the top of the mountain. Start of every week, we have to climb this mountain to get to the peak, the pinnacle. And that's how I refer to this middle show of the work week. Climb up, climb up, climb up, climb up. Okay. Take a breath, do the hump show, and then we start down the other side toward the weekend. And I'm sure I'm not alone when I tell you this coming weekend cannot get here quickly enough. Now, I have my reasons. You may have yours. My reasons have to do with the family being in town. I've been so busy, so wrapped up in packing and moving and cleaning and trying to get organized that I really haven't had much time to get excited to even anticipate my family arriving. But I will very soon be hosting family in the new house. I just don't even know how this is going to go. Thankfully, when it comes to family, your core family, they love you. My family loves me, even though they know all of my faults and my quirks and my anal retentive mannerisms. They know I can't stand clutter. And they also know that right now, the house is a disaster because I just haven't been able to get to everything. I think it's impossible anyway. But I know the important things, at least before the family descends upon my neighborhood, the important things are to clean the kitchen, put away as much as I can, but also to clean the bathrooms. And therein lies the latest disgusting discovery at the new house. Oh my gosh, wait until I tell you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's good to have you on board for the hump show. I'm about to gross you out again with another story of the travails of home ownership. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I last saw any family on March 3rd. I flew back from Houston. It was super early in the morning. In fact, my mom was still sleeping. I had an early, early flight, and her husband, Mike, took me to the airport. So she was still sleeping. I didn't want to wake her up and because she has a hard time sleeping. I come by it honestly. My sleep issues come from my mother. And so I had said goodnight to her the night before, and we had binged watch a show from PBS. We love the Jane Austen style shows that PBS puts on. And they had this, I think it was a 6-part series called Sanditon, which was based on Jane Austen's last novel that was never finished. Anyway, that's just a minor detail, but one I remember because it's the last time I saw family. So that was March 2nd. I flew back to the New York City area on March 3rd. And of course, a week later, sports went into hibernation. So I haven't seen any family since March 3rd. Here we are now hurtling our way toward the end of June. And in the midst of all of this, I rarely stay put in one place for this long. Like many of you, I've canceled multiple trips over the course of the spring, a week of vacation on the beach, my birthday trip to see my brother, my sister-in-law, my nieces. I haven't seen them since New Year's, and that was my brother and one of my nieces. I haven't seen my sister-in-law and the other niece since Thanksgiving. So that just, it's been a long time since we've all been together, all seven of us. In fact, it's a year and a half ago. So Christmas of 2018, since the seven of us were all together. So I'm really looking forward to hosting them. We're going to be crammed in, and I don't mean crammed in because the home doesn't have enough space, but crammed in because right now there are boxes everywhere and the furniture isn't in the place, all the places where it's going to be. So yeah, but they're showing up on scene. They promise they're going to help, and I'm really excited about seeing them. But here's why I still have my work cut out for me, you guys. I told you about the refrigerator that I spent 3 hours over 3 days scrubbing meticulously. I mean, I took that puppy apart to the point where I have this weird metal bar. I know what bracket it came from, but I cannot figure out how to put it back. So, you know, that's something that the two engineers in my family are going to have to help with. So I was able to then wipe out three sets of cabinets, cupboards is what we call them in my family. I wiped out three sets of cupboards. I put away a bunch of stuff, emptied six boxes on Tuesday evening. So excited about that, right? And I'm thinking, okay, I know there's still some cleaning to do in the kitchen. Oh, gosh, the top of the – so it's a washer-dryer combo that's stacked on top of each other. They're full size, but they're stacked in my utility room. And the top of the dryer – is completely black. I mean, I wouldn't even touch it right now. Gross. And also, I've discovered behind the washer and dryer in the utility room looks like it hasn't been cleaned in probably 10 years. Multiple layers of dirt and grime and who knows what else, probably dead bugs. And if I find a dead mouse in there, that's it. I'm getting my money back. Anyway, so that's the utility room. It's right off the kitchen. So I know there's a lot that I still have to do in the kitchen area. But yesterday morning, I shudder to tell you this story, and I'm sorry if it's going to gross you out, but I have to tell someone. I have to share it. I feel better once I get it off my chest, so I hope you don't mind. Yesterday morning, I was getting ready for bed. So I'm usually in bed around 2 hours after the show ends. And I was in the upstairs bathroom. There are two. And I just had this weird feeling that I should look at the shelves that are in the shower. Now, here's the odd thing. I'm a tall person. I'm 5'10". But for whatever reason, and the two people who sold me the house were at least 6 inches shorter than me. It was an older couple, a retired couple, both of them significantly shorter than me. So I have no idea why these shelves are so high in the shower, but they are. They're above my eye level. So I've never actually looked to see what's on the shelves. I've never looked to see what's on the shelves. I stood up. Again, I don't know what possessed me to do this. I stood up on the side of the tub and looked at the shelves. One of them, and I am not exaggerating because I don't even need to exaggerate this. One of them is completely covered with matted, dried hair. Hair. There is a layer of hair. I know I'm yelling. I'm sorry. Covering this shelf. Yeah, it's one of those corner shelves where you would put shampoo, maybe, I don't know, maybe your body wash. Do you know what else is up there? Pieces of razors. So they obviously used these razors to shave and they just left pieces. So there's a couple of razor head covers. There's oh my gosh, there's a razor handle up there. They just left it there. I mean, I thought the refrigerator was bad. I'm not sure what's worse. I do not understand how... Now, I'll qualify in a second. I do not understand how anyone can live like that. I don't get it. Even if it was my own hair... Because right now my hair is so... It's so long, it's so big that there's plenty of hair that comes out in the shower, but I always clean it up, throw it out... I would never leave it there, even though I'm the only one right now who's using my shower. These owners, this older couple, they're recently retired. They owned the home for 40 years, obviously very comfortable there. Now, they had been gone all spring, which makes it even worse. They hadn't been living in the house for maybe 3 months. So they initially agreed to my offer in early March. And then this is right before the virus got really bad in northern New Jersey. They had already purchased a home in South Carolina, so they left. I think they were just going to take some stuff down, but they never came back. For 2 months, they didn't come back, and understandably so, both in their 60s and felt safer in South Carolina, I think. They came back in, shoot, when was it? They came back in early May, late April, early May. And it was kind of unexpected, but they came back to do an estate sale and get rid of a lot of their furniture, but they weren't living at the house. They were driving back and forth to Pennsylvania, and so they weren't living in the house. And there were no beds there anymore. They'd kind of staged the house of there were mattresses on, I think there were crates or something. So they weren't living in the house. So essentially the house had been empty since early March, which makes the hair even worse. Who knows how long it has been there. Oh my gosh. It's unsanitary and unfathomable to me. And it's my own fault. I'm going to accept full responsibility. It is my own fault because I went through the final walkthrough with my realtor. It was a Friday morning. I was exhausted. I'd been up overnight working. I only had like maybe 90 minutes of sleep. I had to go to the bank, and it was just a kind of a frenetic, crazy last few hours toward closing. And the walkthrough was scheduled right before the closing. So the closing was at the house. And my realtor had been in. She got there early. She'd walked around. It's my own fault. I knew the fridge was dirty, but I didn't look close enough to realize how disgusting it was. I opened up a couple of cupboards and realized there were crumbs in a few of them, but didn't realize how bad. I never looked behind the washer and dryer. Again, I should have. It's my own fault. And I certainly did not stand on the side of the tub to look at this shelf that is above eye level, my eye level. And so I have no one else to blame but me, because if I had seen then what I saw in the last few days, I would have delayed closing. I would have said, hell no, they need to hire someone to clean this, or they need to clean it themselves, because this is not fair. They're selling me a place that's filthy. So it's my own fault. Lesson learned. I know certainly that I will do a better job cleaning it. Because I'm anal retentive. So I'll be more meticulous and thorough about cleaning and scrubbing. And my mom said to me on Tuesday, at least you know, the entire place will be cleaner than it's ever been. But I've almost started bawling my eyes out multiple times, just realizing what an idiot I was for not paying more attention. Oh my gosh, you guys. Thank you for listening to me. I had to get that off my chest. It freaked me out to no end, to the point where I almost couldn't go to sleep. But there was no way. I couldn't start cleaning it right then. I couldn't. Not after having hosted a show all night. Oh my gosh. I know some of you have sent me messages on Twitter or on Facebook and said, oh, I bought a house and this broke right after, or I had to clean this. Or one woman even said to me it was the worst 9 days of my life because she had a similar situation where she spent 9 days cleaning and trying to get ready. And I wouldn't care as much if it weren't for the fact that my family is descending. There are going to be 7 of us in the house come Saturday. So my mom's not coming in until Saturday, but I wouldn't care quite as much. I wouldn't be so stressed about it if it weren't for the fact that I'm about to have a full household. So yeah, thank God I still have a few days to try to get the place clean. And I'm focusing on the areas that right now I can manage, which are kitchen and bathrooms. By the way, do you know how many spiders I've already killed in the house? Is it too late to go back to renting? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You guys are very good to listen to me. So here's the question I want to ask you that I've thrown out there, even as you're sending your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which comes up next hour here on the show. Which sport will be most crippled by the lack of fans? Whether it's the home field advantage, whether it's the atmosphere, whether it's the adrenaline, which sport or league, because obviously we've got different leagues that play the same ball, which one will feel the empty stadiums or arenas or courses most acutely? Ooh, such a good word. Such a good word. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, that's always where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything as well. And then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, too, if you would like to weigh in, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I feel bad now because it's not all terrible at the new place. The backyard is lovely. I mean, the yard, I actually like the yard better than I like the house right now. I've posted pictures before on social media of the peonies and of the roses. The man who owned the house before, he worked at Home Depot and loved his flowers. I have a filled in fire pit that is right now, it's just bursting in blooms. Red, pink, yellow, purple. There's a butterfly bush. It's beautiful. There's a rose trellis. I have two big, huge flower boxes full of lilies. They're not in bloom yet, but they will be in bloom. I mean, the yard is gorgeous, and I'm very thankful for that. It's fenced in. Penny can hang out back there, and the neighborhood is very peaceful. There's a lot to like. I'll like it a hell of a lot more, pardon my language, once I get it cleaned. Again, I can't even tell you how much better I feel after sharing that with you. Thank you so much for listening. It's therapeutic for me. 855-212-4227 is our toll-free line. I don't know if you saw this, but the U.S. Open will move forward without fans. And it moves forward amidst controversy. So not every faction, a little bit like the NBA, I guess, right? Not every faction of the tennis world believes this is a good idea. But between the WTA and the ATP and then New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, they agreed that the USTA, which is the U.S. Tennis Association's plan, in which they collaborated with these various tours, the men's and women's and the state of New York, they believe the plan with the health and safety protocols will create an atmosphere in which they can safely hold the tournament. I actually had one of the women I work with, she's in charge of getting our credentials as reporters or as media members to cover events. She asked me about 3 weeks ago, do you want me to apply for a credential for the U.S. Open? Because I've covered it. Not every year that I've been in the New York area, but I've covered it, you know, probably most of the years. And she asked me. Now, I don't have any idea if they'll actually be allowing media members on site. I assume it will be a limited number of media members. So I don't know if I'll be allowed to go, but she did apply for an application apply for a credential. Governor Andrew Cuomo welcoming tennis back to the New York City area.
We're excited about the U.S. Open is going to be held in Queens August 31st to September 13th. It will be held without fans, but we can watch it on TV, and I'll take that.
Again, not everyone is thrilled about it. There are actually some very vocal members of the tennis world who think this is a terrible idea and even called the tennis industry selfish. So we'll get to that. We've also got the WNBA's plan to return to play 22-game regular season full pay plus the postseason, and that will take place in October. So how about this? I'm still trying to figure out exactly how this is going to work, but they're playing 22 games. They start in late July, and their postseason won't finish up until October. Are they going to be sequestered in Bradenton, Florida? I mean, there's a lot of questions there as well, even as the NBA has released a 100-plus page manual about every little detail regarding their return in Orlando. So, my goodness. It's a lot of writing. It's a lot of reading. What sport will be most crippled, most negatively affected if fans cannot attend the events the rest of 2020? Some even say into 2021.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Be careful when investigating strange bathrooms. Be careful what you might find. I joke and I laugh because if I don't, I will cry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not sure if you heard the news about the Hall of Fame game set for Canton, Ohio, Pro Football Hall of Fame in early August. But Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, has indicated that event will likely be played in front of empty stands.
As much as I hate to say this, because we've all been looking forward to that, and I know how much it means to the Canton area and the Stark County area, but really across the country, it is a great, great event that we've been looking forward to. Having a crowd that size, I think, is highly unlikely. Certainly, it could not occur today. It would be very dangerous to do it today. So again, we have to see where we are at that point. But that's a large crowd, a lot of people together. These are the things that, you know, we've talked about all the way through this, that as we open Ohio up and we get back to work and we get back to doing the things that we like, that probably the last things that are going to be able to be open are the big crowds, particularly when you have big crowds that are close together. So we have to continue to look at it, make decisions as we move forward. But if the question was, could that event occur today, the answer would be no. It would just be extremely dangerous. It would not really make any sense to do it.
That's the governor of Ohio. And if you think about it, the Hall of Fame game is only 2 months away. In fact, not even 2 months away, which is crazy, right? Because it brings right to the forefront the fact that NFL training camps, the first training camps, will be starting in just over a month. 5 weeks, the first NFL training camps. Maybe they adjust dates, though. Generally not. They're in the CBA, like how many days ahead of your first preseason game you're allowed to start camp. That's how it's determined. But the Hall of Fame game, the teams that play, obviously, are the earliest teams to report to training camp. And we're inside of 2 months. I mean, we're essentially talking 6 weeks until the Hall of Fame game is scheduled to be played on August 6th. So it's likely that is asking too much if you think about the other sports that will, oh my goodness, we'll just be starting the NBA by then, and the NHL as well, though we don't have a firm start date for the NHL yet. But I mean, every sport known to man ever created is going to be in operation all at the same time. So yeah, that Hall of Fame game is right around the corner, and it's likely going to take place Steelers, Cowboys, but no fans in Canton. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Which sport is most crippled by not having fans in the stands? And maybe it's not NFL, but you think it'll be college football. It was great to talk to Randy Cross, College Football Hall of Famer, on last night's show and get his take on how the lack of fans will affect the pros versus the college game. So 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Geico introduces the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's talk to Mike in South Carolina. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Law. My lovely Amy Law. Check it out. Hey. How are you?
I'm as good as can be. Thank you.
That's good. All right. So I was going to say that the NFL was going to be not only the NFL, but college football was going to be most affected with, players listening for play calls and, you know, most stadiums are open. Some are domes. You got that amplified architectural anarchy in Seattle where it just blasts the crowd noise into the stadium, but I think the NBA is going to be the most affected, along with college basketball, if it lasts that long, too. You've got crowd giving energy on each possession, you know, and each possession is only 24 seconds, no more. The defense chants, you know, you got like that Ohio student section that was giving birth while a guy was shooting a free throw and he clanked it. There's a lot of things that go into, you know, a basketball game. I think it'll really be affected compared to everybody else.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I have been to some NBA games where they pump in. I mean, this happens pretty much everywhere now. They pump in music during play. So it used to be when I was growing up that there was no music allowed to be piped in while the ball was actually in play. But now you have music at these weird random times. The guy will be posting up. There'll be music blaring through the loudspeaker. So they pump that music in. Now, I'd agree with you that it'll be odd without the fans, a big dunk. It'll be more like a practice. But there are times when the crowd is quiet enough that they actually are pumping in music to get people excited.
Okay, yeah. I've yet to attend a professional or a collegiate game, basketball-wise. I've been to a Panthers game. Haven't been to a Hornets game yet, but I'm pretty sure it's dull in there these times.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see. We're going to get a taste of it as much as we can on TV. All right, Mike, it's good to talk to you. Thanks so much for listening to the show.
Thank you.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, Robert says the Indians used to draw 2,000 to the 71,000-seat Cleveland Municipal Stadium. Games proceeded. No sport must have a paying crowd. Well, clearly not. I mean, you're right. No sport has to have it, although eventually, if fans never came back, there would be some leagues that might fold or some owners that might have to sell because they do need that fan revenue. I mean, we've joked about Tampa Bay. They're the Tampa Bay Rays. There is no city called Tampa Bay, but in Tampa, in St. Pete, they have very often an empty Tropicana Field. Certainly, there are places around the country where in stretches when the team is not any good, there are fewer fans in the stands. Think about when they first opened Levi Stadium and the issues they had with the Niners' new home and how sometimes they would start games, there'd be nobody there. So it is something that we've seen in sports, but generally it's a temporary thing. And then it never happens during big games, playoff games. So which sport will be crippled the most by not having fans allowed? Brian on Twitter says the NHL, it depends on the walk-up crowds. Justin, baseball especially, nothing like the atmosphere in the playoffs, like a Game 7 at Yankee Stadium. Chase on Twitter, the NFL will be the most affected by the lack of a crowd. There is nothing like that adrenaline rush on 3rd and 1 when the defense makes the stop or the game-winning touchdown. Will the NFL allow crowd noise to be pumped into the stadium to help? So we've got, I just read three tweets in a row, four actually, and we've got four different answers. So I think it's something that we don't actually know yet. We'll find out together. Eric thinks it will be baseball. Which sport is most crippled by not having fans in the stands? I don't know how long it will last. Maybe we'll get limited fans in the stands come the fall. And it depends on what part of the country we're in and how the virus numbers respond to the various steps that are being taken. So yet again, I have questions for you with no solid answers, only opinions, only guesses, only predictions. You know how much I love those.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of recent NFL Defense Player of the Year, Aaron Donald, who said that he can't imagine playing games without fans, except it's a very real possibility moving forward. Preseason games, almost certainly, and we'll see where we are come mid-September when the NFL kicks off its 2020 campaign. Speaking of that, on the field, there are some pretty cool storylines. I don't know if you all saw the photos that were tweeted and posted on social media by the Buccaneers. Tom Brady in a Bucs uniform for the first time ever. Producer Chris, if you would like to find some of those photos, they were stock photos that were put out on social media Tuesday. You can share those on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And so that's one, of course, is the tandem of Brady and Gronk and what that means for Bruce Arians and the Bucs. But also, Philip Rivers trying to hit the reset button with an offensive-minded coach, former quarterback himself, and Frank Reich, an Indianapolis Colts offense that needs someone who can throw the ball down the field. What will that marriage mean for the player and the team? Well, we're going to ask our Colts insider at the top of the hour here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also, on both of our social media sites now, Twitter and Facebook, you're in your last push for questions for Ask Amy Anything, which comes up inside of an hour from now. I am pleased with the wide array of answers about the sport that will be crippled the most without fans, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook. And I've asked this question of various guests who have joined the show, and I never get the same answer two times in a row. And so I'm pleased that this is such a great debate. We'll get the answer at some point, but for now, it's all speculation. John on Facebook says hockey, nothing like the home ice. Michael agrees, says hockey, players feed off the fans. But Dale says, I believe high school sports will suffer the most. Lots of schools need fans to generate the money for their programs, and hate to say, but many high school sports may never come back. Well, that's doom and gloom. I think it's easier for high school sports because they can have, and this is the experience, at least, that I've got friends who are in this situation now, you know, having their kids get back to playing sports, and they're doing it with a lot of space. So you're not talking about the same number of people who attend these games. And so it's a little bit different trying to funnel 100,000 people into the big house, just, you know, for an example, you know, is maybe like a few thousand into a high school arena or to a, you know, high school football game. And I know in some cases, high school football's big business. I spent 4 years living and working in Oklahoma, and I get it. High school football is a lifeblood in some parts of the country, but you're not talking about the same numbers of fans. So in my opinion, it might actually be a little easier to navigate that. But that's Dale's answer. Alfred says basketball because they're in a closed arena and the play feeds off the fans. Mary on Facebook says college football. Let's see. Robert agrees college. He doesn't specify a sport because he says they need the money. Jason on Facebook, NFL, they have the largest crowds and generate the most money. A lot of the money for pro sports comes from TV contracts, though. So even as we talk about what life might be like for the sports themselves, for the owners and the revenue that they'll lose without fans in the stands, that is true. But it's not just ticket sales. It's also concessions. It's parking. It's selling the, you know, the jerseys and the memorabilia and the various different vendors that operate on site. I mean, the team gets a cut of all of that. But a good portion, well more than half of the league's incoming revenue every year, regardless of what league we're talking about, is from the TV contracts, which is another reason why these leagues, the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, they are more than willing to play these games without fans because they realize that they're still, at the very least, going to get the benefit of the TV revenue. Let's see. Willie says, college sports, no students, no game played. David says the NFL. Brandon, college sports. Curtis on Facebook, NBA and NHL, due to the fact that the atmosphere around the playoffs are amped up with the crowds. Yeah, there's going to be very little run-up. In the NBA, we're talking 8 games to get used to this atmosphere with no fans in Orlando. And then in the NHL, they jump right into these play-in series, these 5-game series with all this excitement. And it's a little bit like you know, a play-in tournament to get to the Stanley Cup bracket. And these are huge games, and they will be played without fans, though we don't yet know the two cities that will be hosting the NHL hubs. At least I haven't heard. I keep waiting for those cities to be unveiled, and I have not yet heard that from Gary Bettman or from any other hockey source. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The questions for Ask Amy Anything can be posted right below the show question on our Facebook page and then on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Here's another tweet without a name attached to it, but another tweet that points to MLB. The NFL sells maybe 17 million tickets a year, though they are pricey. MLB and NHL draw 22 million tickets a year. I cannot confirm these numbers. This is, again, from a tweet. MLB had 68 million ticket sales in 2019. Minor league baseball had another nearly 9 million. This is killing baseball and its fans. Oh, please. Baseball is killing baseball. Baseball has no one else to blame except for itself. Every other sport has figured out a way to do this. for some reason, not Major League Baseball. They refuse to come down off their high horses and put the stubbornness and the pride aside. I mean, we talked to Pete Abraham at the Boston Globe in the first hour, and he used the phrase tone deaf, which is one that I've used over and over again. It's like they have zero clue what's happening in the rest of the world around them. Tammy on Twitter, college football, 100%, no screaming, no fight songs, no bands, etc. And we talked about that with Randy Cross when he joined us last hour. Not sure if you saw, but the column, the article that our digital department posted after we talked to Randy Cross. So they put, you know, a bit of a write-up, and we embed the full interview in the article, and then we post it on Twitter and Facebook. But the digital department also picks a photo. Just so you know, we don't pick the photos. The digital department picks the photos. But our digital guy, Tony, picked a photo of the 12th man, Kyle Field, College Station, Texas. I have been there for a packed house. I mean, incredible atmosphere. One of the coolest I've ever seen in college football, or really in any sport I've ever attended. At the time when the Oklahoma football program, led by Bob Stoops, was number one in the country, and the Aggies pulled an upset in College Station. But the stands with the cadets and all of their chants and their songs and their swaying, it looks like the one really tall set of grandstands is moving. I mean, I was down in the end zone on a short set of bleachers, and this wall of fans towers above you, and it looks like it's moving because of the numbers of fans, mostly the cadets, as I say, who are leading a lot of the cheers and the chants. It's incredible atmosphere. And so that photo is part of the interview, the column that we did with Randy Cross. It's crazy to think about these places without fans. And I would tend to agree that college sports is where it will be the most crippling, but I consider every sport, and I'm still having a hard time wrapping my brain around it. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Kevin, who's in Missouri. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I think I just crossed over the Mississippi River, and now I'm in the land of Lincoln, so not Missouri anymore. But, hey, Amy, Two ways to answer this question. I think the first is, you know, all these athletes, whether it's high school, college, or pro, you know, it doesn't make any difference. They get out on the field, they're focused, they're playing the game. I mean, you played. I played all the sports except for hockey, and the fans don't make a lot of difference once you're out there playing. Not to me, anyway. I mean, once you're out there playing, you're focused and you're playing the game. So not having fans in the stands, to me, I don't think it's going to make a difference as far as crippling the game. I think actually in some of the sports, it's going to make the game be easier to play. You know, football, it's going to make communication between the players a whole lot easier. You know, baseball or basketball in high pressure situations, it's the same way. Without having the crowd noise, it's going to make that, you know, 3-2 bases loaded pitching a whole lot easier. It's going to make those free throws a whole lot easier in basketball. So, you know, I don't think it's going to cripple the sport as far as the actual, quality of play. As far as the long term goes, well, to me, I guess it all depends on the TV viewership, who draws the most shares or the least shares, as it were. I'm not sure where that's all at, but baseball to me is probably going to, ironically, the league that's fighting the most is probably going to be the one that's going to be suffering the most. I just don't think they have the fanatical fans like football, NBA, hockey. I just don't think the MLB has the fans to support them without having fans in the seats.
Yeah, I mean, they do have the TV contracts as well. So they also have the money that's coming in from the networks. Which you talk about October and the big business of the playoffs in October and how much money that generates. So there is that portion of it. But according to most of the leagues, without fans, if they play a full season without fans, and in the case of baseball, they don't even have the option of of playing a full season. They believe, these leagues believe, they'll lose 40% of their incoming revenue. Not all of it, but a good chunk of it. Now, that may be an overestimation. It actually may be a conservative estimate. We'll find out. But even if you weren't planning on going, even if we're not talking about the athlete's perspective, what about just the atmosphere in general? Will we still enjoy watching it on TV? Will we still feel the same drama and excitement and tension and the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat without any of the crowd reaction? I don't know. So maybe it's the TV viewership angle that you're considering, but which sport will be crippled the most by not having fans in the stands? Coming up next, Joel Erickson of the Indy Star, Philip Rivers in the marriage with the Colts. Could it be more than a 1-year deal?
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.